Very good evening. Good to have you with us this midweek for our Bible study and prayer time. We're opening tonight to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 23. We're living in the Psalms during this period of lockdown, and I trust that you've been able to join us for previous studies. But tonight we're in the 23rd Psalm, a very well-known passage of Scripture to all, including many who are not Christians. But certainly for the believer, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture. Psalms chapter 23, beginning our reading in verse 1, the Psalm of the Great Shepherd. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of those few verses from his word. The story is told of a pastor who was greeting his church members, and in so doing he greeted an elderly member of his congregation and asked her how she was doing, to which she replied, "Well, Pastor, I'm somewhere between thank you, Jesus, and Lord have mercy." And I'm guessing that's where most of us are this evening. Glad for all that the Lord has done for us, grateful for his daily blessings, but needful for his mercy and his grace to deal with the daily struggles. Which is why I bring you to Psalm chapter 23 this evening. I would say this is by far the best known of all the Psalms. It's certainly the one that is most often read on family occasions such as weddings and funerals. And it's easy to see why, for whether it's a wedding or whether it's a funeral, this psalm leads us all the way from a thank you, Jesus, to a Lord have mercy. Friends, it isn't all doom and gloom today. I know that many times we're watching the news, and if you're anything like me, be honest with you, in the last few months, I've watched about 2 minutes of the news and then I switch off. I just find it all so depressing and discouraging and disheartening. But, you know, it's not all bad news. And we ought to realize that even though the world is filled with doom and gloom and it's all very dark and grim, I want you to know that for the Christian who has the great shepherd before him, there's plenty to smile about and plenty to be blessed about. And this 23rd Psalm is a marvelous song of praise for the care of the Lord Jesus over his saints. And it shows us how that we are completely surrounded by his love. I want you to notice in verse 1, our possession. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." There's our thank you, Jesus. It's a very personal psalm. Notice how every verse there's an emphasis of personal pronouns. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see how personal a psalm this is. This is one of David's most intimate of writings. The Lord is my shepherd. I wonder, is he your shepherd tonight? Maybe you're watching this and you're not a Christian. Well, David wants you to know that God desires that you should have a relationship with him, that you should know him in a personal capacity, and that he is reaching out to you tonight as the good shepherd, as the one who gave his life for the sheep. in order that you might be saved. And so tonight we encourage you to make the Lord your shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. You know, when I was a boy, we used to read this psalm, or I would hear this psalm read on occasion, and I always wondered about that phrase, I shall not want, because that was not my experience. I used to have all kinds of wants. I used to want a new bike, I'd want a new football, I'd want a board game, I'd want something, many of the things that any child might want, I wanted. And I couldn't figure out why this would mean, and what this would mean by the statement, I shall not want. And of course, now I understand fully what that means. It means that I shall not lack. I shall not be in need, because the Lord is taking care of me. He has made every provision for all of my needs. Now, of course, in that respect, the greatest provision he's made is himself. He is mine, and I am his. And it's almost as though no one else exists. No one else matters. I remember the first time I had opportunity to visit Israel, and I went to the Garden Tomb, and I was so looking forward to being there at the tomb that is said to be the empty tomb of the Lord Jesus. And I'd heard other Christians who had gone before testify what a meaningful place that was to them. And I went on a Thursday morning, and we looked at the tomb, and to be honest, I was greatly disappointed. I felt like it was just another tourist attraction, and it was no different to me than looking at Big Ben or something like that. And I went away greatly disappointed. But we came back on the Sunday morning, and there was a worship service at the Garden Tomb site. And they don't do that anymore, sadly. I don't know why, but they don't do it anymore. But we had a wonderful worship service. And although it wasn't Easter, we sang all the resurrection hymns. And this was probably one of the strangest experiences of my Christian life. It seemed as though everybody just faded away, and that the Lord just came along and sat beside me, and he said, I told you I wasn't here. And it was such a blessed time. And it was as though no one else existed. It was just me and the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one who's taking care of all my needs. God's care of me is very personal. And you know, when the Lord Jesus taught the parable of the lost sheep in Luke's Gospel in chapter 15, he explains how the shepherd, though he has 99 sheep in the field, he leaves behind the 99 and he goes in search of the one that is lost. It's the shepherd who does the searching and not the sheep. It's the shepherd who goes looking for the sheep, not the sheep for the shepherd. You know, sometimes when we are giving our testimonies, we explain how we find the Lord. Well, the Lord wasn't lost. It was us who were lost. He came and found us. And the great truth from this analogy here is that as the Lord leaves the 99 and goes in search of the one, is that all the sheep matter. You know, in this day and age, we have people who would like to present the idea that black lives matter. And they have this, I think it's a rather one-sided notion that black lives matter, as though white lives don't matter or other people's lives don't matter. But actually, to God, all lives matter. Unborn lives matter. Your life matters. Whatever your skin color, all lives matter to him. And God cares about us all. He cares for you, and he cares for me. And if we're saved tonight, he is our shepherd in a very meaningful and personal way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But notice our position. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, a sheep is a ruminant. And by that we mean it's an animal that chews the cud. And a caring shepherd will make his sheep to lie down upon the field because he knows that they cannot properly digest their food unless they lie down. So the picture in verse 2 is one of complete satisfaction and one of complete personal security. You see, a sheep will not lie down unless it is satisfied that it is completely safe to do so, that there will be no enemy attack, that no predator shall harm him or her. And so the shepherd knows that the sheep need this security. They need to lie down because the wool grows in thickness and richness in direct proportion to the time they spend resting and ruminating on the green grass that they ingest. And so with all this in mind, the shepherd leads his sheep to the green pastures. Now in Israel, the green pastures are invariably on the north side. That is, they're in the areas that have not been parched by the Middle Eastern sun. And so the shepherd often leads the sheep to the green pastures which are on the north side. And you know, when you think about that, the sides of the north was the place that God chose for his temple in Jerusalem. It was north of the holy city. God's throne is said to be in the north in Isaiah chapter 14. And the side of the mountain that points us toward God's holiness and presence is on the north. In Psalm 48, the psalmist sang, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness." Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King. That's where God wants us to lie down. He wants us to dwell and soak in his heavenly presence and to soak up every sense of his great holiness. "He leadeth me beside still waters." Why still waters? Why does he take me by a rushing river? Because sheep have a morbid fear of water. If sheep get into trouble in water, well then their wool soaks through and they're weighted down and they will drown in rushing water. So the shepherd must bring them to still waters. Sheep were never designed for swimming. With their heavy coats of wool and their little spindly legs, sheep are incapable of swimming. So the shepherd knows this, and he searches out still waters, and he finds waters that they might safely drink from. And the still waters here spoken of are those of the wells and the springs or the cisterns upon which the shepherds of the Near East depended and to which they led their sheep. The word "leadeth" means a gentle guidance toward a particular place. The great shepherd doesn't drive his sheep. You know, if you look at our sheep in the West, they are driven by a shepherd. Oft times now we see farmers out on quad bikes rounding up their sheep, and whereas they perhaps used dogs in the past, now they're using this machinery, and you'll see two fellas out on quad bikes, and they're circling around the sheep and pushing the sheep into another field or wherever they want the sheep to go. But that was not how it was done in ancient times. It's still not how it's done in the Middle East. Shepherds there lead their sheep, and so the great shepherd doesn't drive us. He's not disturbing us. He's not pushing us. He's not pressing us. Our Christian life is not governed by duress. It's not governed by threat, but by the loving kindness of the Lord. And the Lord cares about everything you and I are facing today. Isn't that one of the wonderful truths? And I feel like a broken record when I read this verse, but it's a verse that we come back to again and again and again in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, where we're reminded of this great truth that we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was at all points tried as we are, yet without sin. So it tells us that in the heavens we find a sympathetic ear. And of course Peter reiterates that truth when he invites us to be casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for you. You see, there we see our position. We are lying down in green pastures. But notice our protection in verse 3. "He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He restoreth my soul. He leads his sheep to the shady places for rest, where the temperature might be up to 10 degrees cooler, where it enables me to catch my breath, where it allows me to be re-energized, no longer being zapped by the sun high in the sky. You know, this shepherd knows the territory. He knows the angle and the lay of the land. He knows where every gorge is and every shadow falls. He knows the best spot, whatever the time of day. Here's something else about sheep. Have you ever noticed that sheep tend to cram together on a hot day underneath a shady tree or some other place? If you've ever visited Dartmoor, you'll appreciate that it is a moor. It's a great expanse of land that is very open and very exposed to the sun. But in that land there are many sheep, and it's not an uncommon sight to see those sheep all huddled together, maybe along the length of a bridge beneath the wall, all in trying to get into the shade, getting out of the sun. That's the nature of the sheep. Sheep don't mind close fellowship. In fact, sheep are happiest when they're huddled together like that in a herd. They enjoy being up close, touching one another and clustering for safety. Is that not a great picture of the local church? In the local church, we gather and we cluster and we are happy, I trust, to be in one another's company. By the way, you know what goats do? Goats socially distance. That's what they do. Goats separate. Goats don't by nature herd. If you go out, you'll see a goat running on its own up the mountainside. It's not concerned about where the other goats are in particular. And so it has this instinct just to get out on its own. A goat has a social distance of about 3 feet. And, in fact, the government right now is treating us like goats when our desire is to be sheep. Our desire is to be together, but the government says you've got to be apart. And that's very difficult for us because it's not in our nature spiritually to spend time apart like this. By the way, what does that say about people who don't want to come to church? People who say, oh, I would never go to church. Goats. Yeah, and that's important to understand, because when you get to the end time here, God's going to separate between the sheep and the goats. The sheep are his, the goats are not. And if you're a goat, you're lost. If you're a sheep, you're found. And that's a really important thing to understand. If you're one of those people who says, well, I don't like church, I don't enjoy church, I don't want to go to church, I find church boring, it's because you're a goat. And I don't mean that in an insulting way. I'm saying that in terms of your spiritual nature. Your nature is to be separate from the people of God. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, he makes me to lie down and beside the still waters. Now he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He's causing me to rest in the shade a while because he knows the journey ahead. You know, if you could visit Judea today, you would see for yourself the many pathways that are crisscrossing each other around the hills of Judea. For the uninitiated, those paths, well, they seem to be going nowhere. But the shepherds know those paths, and they know which ones are good paths to take and which are full of danger. They know the paths in which there is a right way to go, and they know that there are other paths which is a wrong way to go. They know those areas where there are heavily populated by parasites in the grass. They know those areas where there might be those who are hanging out, bandits and robbers are in the way. They know the areas that are preferred by their predators, the predators of the sheep, those wolves and others. But the shepherd knows the right paths. Job said of him, said of our great shepherd, he knoweth the way that I take. I love that. He knoweth the way that I take. You know, I don't often know which way to go, but the Lord knows which way to go. I don't often know the right path to take, but the Lord knows the right path to take. Now, let me again tell you the difference between sheep and goats in this area. A sheep will follow his shepherd. The shepherd, you see, has a little bell on his person. And as he moves along those paths, that little bell is ringing. The sheep is not only looking out for the shepherd, he's listening for that little bell. He's actually listening even for his name, should the shepherd call him. And so the sheep is ever looking for the shepherd. He never runs ahead. But a goat will always push on his own. And again, that's one of the marks of a lost person. A lost person thinks, well, I don't need God, and I don't need the church, and I don't need Jesus. I can get by on my own. Well, you'll find that you can't get by on your own, that you do need the Lord. So we see our protection. But notice then in verse 4, his presence. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That valley is spoken of there is a deep gorge, a place of shadows, a place of hidden dangers. Some valleys are so deep that the sun never touches the base of the valley. But throughout the valley experience, Christ is there. For there to be a shadow, well, it stands to reason there has to be a light source. And if the light source is not the sun, there must be another light source. And so in the darkest of places, in the darkest of times, Jesus is there. And we know him by the light of his presence. Maybe you are in a dark place tonight. Maybe you're one of those folks now who are finding this all to be a bit of a grind. You know, we've been into this lockdown, 9 weeks or something, 10 weeks, something like that. We're hearing the government is going to ease things up and let us out a little bit more. And that's a very good thing if they do. But whether they do or whether they don't, you may be finding it very disturbing, very distressing to be closed up and locked down all this period of time, particularly if you're one of those who are living alone and who are having to shield for health reasons. But I want you to understand that the Lord Jesus is ever with us. He's with you tonight. And you should be encouraged in that. His rod and his staff, David says, comfort me. How come? Well, the rod is used for the defense of the sheep. It's a weapon. Excuse me. The Hebrew word literally indicates the offshoot of an olive tree. And so it's actually a word which lends itself to the name of the town Nazareth, Nazir. And of course we know the Lord Jesus is the root, the offshoot out of the dry ground, according to the prophets. He's our defender. He comes to our aid. He comes to our defense. The staff with its crook is used for rescuing sheep, for pulling them out of the briar. By the rod and by the staff, the shepherd ensures that all the sheep make it safely back to the sheepfold, which when you think about it, this reminds us of our Savior's own words in his high priestly prayer, when he says to his Father, all that thou hast given me, I have lost none. Those that thou hast given me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. You know, we are saved and saved for sure. You know, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. It's not a new name written down in pencil that can be rubbed out. Some people would have us believe that. Some people would have us believe that the minute we step out of line, God is ready to blot our names out of the book of life and cast us into a lost eternity. What kind of Savior do they have? Not the Savior we have. No. Our Savior is one who brings comfort to us by means of his rod and his staff. The staff brings comfort to the sheep by its sound. Not only is the animal following the sound of the bell on the shepherd's person, but every time he clicks that staff into the ground, the sheep are listening for that clicking noise upon the ground, and they know that they're following him en route to the next destination. The staff tells them that the shepherd is near. Is our shepherd near? Well, listen to the psalmist, Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon him, to all them that call upon him in truth. Then I want you to notice his provision in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, in the Bedouin culture, if you make a table, you are being reconciled to your enemies. If you make a table and you invite them in and you eat together, you're saying that the dispute is over, that the argument is finished, and it's now time to put things to bed and get on with one another. But did you know that sheep in the Near Eastern culture actually eat off little tables sometimes? That shepherds will actually raise up a little table upon which the sheep eats from. He leads them to green pastures where he has this little raised area in which he places the most tender of grass, ensuring that they don't eat anything that is noxious or anything that is toxic. And not only that, but the grasslands also hide within them sometimes many parasites that are damaging to the sheep. And so by causing them to eat from this slightly raised platform, they're avoiding ingesting those parasites along with the grass. Friends, is that not how God feeds us? The Word of God is raised high above the world. It is raised high above the things of this world. You know, sadly, we fill our hearts and minds with the things of this world. You know, we sit and we watch that old Gogglebox, or we watch the movies and all of that. And some of you are going to remember the quiz on Saturday night and some of the fun we had there talking about this. But I'm not getting at you. But I'm making the point that, you know, we fill our minds full of such nonsense sometimes, and do so to the detriment of God's word. We don't give God's word the same amount of time or interest. And that's not good for us, because God's word is raised higher than the world, higher than the things of this world. And therefore, we should eat of his table. He's prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. The psalmist says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." You know, at the close of each day, a Near East shepherd, as the sheep returns to the fold, he holds out his rod. You know, they got a sheepfold. The sheepfold is a circular structure, a circular wall, or maybe made with some hedging or whatever, and it comes around so far, and there's a gate, there's a gap. And the shepherd stands at the gap, and he holds his rod out over the gateway there as the sheep are coming in. And as the sheep are coming in, he runs his rod down the back of the sheep, and he exposes the skin of the sheep, and he's looking all the time for cuts and bruises. And if he sees any cuts or bruises, then he takes a little bit of tar and a little bit of anointing oil, and he rubs that into that abrasion and into that wound, and he ministers to the body of the sheep. He also would anoint a sheep's head with oil if that sheep seemed a little bit nervous. And in so doing, he's calming it, you know, like you'd be stroking your pet and it just rolls over. It's calm, it's relaxed. The shepherd does the same thing with his sheep. He takes stock of any sheep that look particularly weary. And then he bends down and he scoops out of his cistern at hand with a two-handled cup. And he brings a cup of water over, and he actually causes his sheep to drink. "Hence my cup runneth over." And here we see God's great provision for his people. Anointing oil, typifying the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The cup of water, picturing the word of God, which is the water of life. And these two together, the Spirit and the word, are God's means of grace unto us. Finally, we see our prospect in verse 6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. That is nothing but goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The shepherd's work with the sheep is intended to be nothing but good. His care for the flock is continuous, day in and day out. And that's good news for this life, with all of its troubles, all of its twists, all of its turns. But what of the life to come? "Well, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There's the promise of God. Dwelling in this context means more than simply existing under the same roof, but carries with it the connotation of close and intimate fellowship. I'm going to fellowship with the Lord. all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, we're going to share eternity with the Lord. With the Lord. We're going to sit at His table. We're going to sup with Him. You know, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that the Lord is coming for us. And when He comes, He catches us up into the air and says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You know, tonight, every one of us who is saved is in our experience somewhere between a thank you, Jesus, and a Lord have mercy. But in between those two are promises of our great shepherd's care. Isn't that good? Isn't that wonderful tonight? No matter where you are on that scale, whether tonight you're thanking Jesus for some blessing or you're saying, Lord, have mercy on me on this struggle. In between those two, we have God's constant watch over us. Are you saved tonight? Do you know Him tonight? Can you say He is my shepherd? Can you say that you're one of the sheep of His pasture? Are you one of those who are wandering alone through this life, behaving like the goats, wanting to be distant from the church and from God and from the things of God? Or maybe you need to have that shepherd come into your life tonight. I wonder, will you welcome Christ in and make Him one of your and make Him your shepherd? You become one of His sheep. Philip Keller wrote in his book, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, about when he bought his first little flock of sheep. And he said this, each shepherd has his own distinctive earmark, which he cuts into one of the ears of his sheep. In this way, even at a distance, it is easy to determine to whom the sheep belong. It was not the most pleasant procedure to catch each ewe in turn and lay her ear on a wooden block and then notch it deeply with a razor-sharp edge of the knife. There was pain for both of us, but from our mutual suffering, an indelible lifelong mark of ownership was made that could never be erased. And from then on, every sheep that came into my possession would bear my mark. Friends, that's true of us. We who are saved bear in our persons the marks of the Lord Jesus. God has forever connected us to Himself through the scars of Calvary, through the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. He is our shepherd. We are the sheep of His pasture. And thanks be to God, no matter how dark the day, no matter how difficult the hour, we will not want, for He is with us all the way. May God bless these thoughts to your hearts this evening. Thank you for listening.